The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles initially from the Harvard Heart Letter, and then probably from the Harvard Women's Health Watch. And first article from the Harvard Heart Letter, this is the November 2023 issue, is entitled Advice for the Lonely Hearts Club. Loneliness and social isolation can leave you more vulnerable to cardiovascular disease. Making the effort to foster friendships, new and old, can help. That old Hank Williams song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, evokes the wistful sadness of loneliness that everyone feels at times. But this emotion is far more prevalent and potentially detrimental to heart health than most people recognize. Earlier this year, U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy released an 82-page advisory about the country's epidemic of loneliness, which he called an underappreciated health crisis. Even before the COVID-19 pandemic, about half of adults reported feeling lonely. Being lonely or socially isolated has been linked to a 29% higher risk of heart disease and a 32% higher risk of stroke. In terms of mortality, the repercussions are similar to smoking up to 15 cigarettes per day and are even greater than the risk associated with obesity and physical inactivity. The underlying mechanism is believed to be similar to what happens when people feel depressed or stressed. Nervous system changes activate hormones that boost blood pressure and trigger an outpouring of inflammatory substances in the blood that lead to a buildup of fatty plaque inside arteries. Social isolation and loneliness certainly increased during the pandemic, but this trend had a small silver lining, a heightened awareness and appreciation of the importance of human connection. COVID's consequences sharpened our focus on loneliness, and the isolation we felt was a reminder of how precious it is to see people in person, says Dr. Jacqueline Olds, a psychiatrist at Harvard-affiliated McLean Hospital, and the co-author of two books on loneliness. Not only did people long to see their family and friends, but they also missed small everyday interactions with neighbors, their mail carrier, and people at the local coffee shop. Loneliness tends to be more common in older people, especially those who are widowed or divorced. The winter holidays sometimes heighten feelings of loneliness, says Dr. Olds. People often imagine idealized holiday scenes with lots of happy faces around the table. Seeing photos on social media sites of people having fun can also exacerbate feelings of isolation. Keep in mind that these curated images aren't everyday reality for most people. Initiating and keeping social plans can be challenging, especially if you live alone, Dr. Olds acknowledges. It's true that it's much harder to do things by yourself, but it's not impossible. Maybe you feel a little shy or anxious, or you're concerned about issues like coping with unpredictable weather, traffic, or staying out too late. Try to push yourself outside your comfort zone and know that you'll be fine if you get a little wet in the rain or don't wear the right shoes, she adds. Reconnect with an old friend or acquaintance, Dr. Olds suggests. Spend time with familiar people can shore up your social skills, which can help you feel more confident about creating new connections. Say yes to social invitations and make sure to take turns initiating and following through with plans to get together with people. Being around people who have similar interests is a good way to make new friends, since you already have something in common. Look online or at your local library for classes, in-person clubs, or volunteer opportunities that match your interests. maybe something new you'd like to try. A helpful source is Meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P, an online social community that coordinates both in-person and virtual activities of all kinds, many of which are targeted to seniors. And you can look at that at www.meetup.com. Remember, that's M-E-E-T-U-P. There are hundreds of groups, including those focused on outdoor activities or hobbies, as well as groups that meet to discuss books, movies, or just share a meal. Volunteering in your local community is another nice way to connect with new people, with the added potential bonus of giving you a sense of purpose. Volunteer Match connects people with local volunteer opportunities that suit their interests and expertise, with such choices as fighting climate change, tutoring children, assisting immigrants and refugees, working with computers and technology, and numerous others. And that's at www.voluntermatch.org. Having a pet, especially a dog, can give you company at home and also help you meet people when you're out on walks or at the dog park. Animal lovers might also consider volunteering at an animal shelter or joining a bird watching group. And now here's another article from the November 2023 Harvard Heart Letter, and it's entitled, When Heart-Related Pain Goes Unrecognized. Silent heart attacks are surprisingly common. Most people don't know that you can have a heart attack without realizing it. In fact, these so-called silent heart attacks account for 30 to 60% of all heart attacks. But recognizing and responding to a silent heart attack is important, as they can be harbingers for a more serious, potentially deadly heart attack. Heart attacks can be silent for a variety of reasons, says cardiologist Dr. Peter Stone, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Just like a regular heart attack, a silent one occurs when the heart muscle doesn't receive enough blood, usually when a clot blocks blood flow inside a narrowed heart artery. The quality, duration, and intensity of the resulting pain can vary quite a bit. Some people describe the sensation as a dull ache or crushing pressure, which may be mild or short-lived and therefore unnoticed or ignored. The reduced blood flow must last about 15 to 30 minutes to result in a detectable heart attack. That is, part of the heart muscle becomes damaged or dies. Sometimes symptoms come and go, which doctors refer to as stuttering symptoms. When a clot obstructs an artery, the body's natural clot-busting process is instantly set in motion, Dr. Stone explains. If the clot dissolves, symptoms may abate, but then return if the clot-forming forces win. Various quirks related to pain perception may also play a role in a heart attack going unrecognized. People often think the discomfort has to be on the left side of the chest, because that's where the heart is located. But nerves within the heart may send signals to surrounding nerves, causing pain that may radiate to the stomach, to the back, to the neck, the arm, or the jaw. If an artery blockage occurs near the bottom of the heart, it may affect nerves in the diaphragm, the muscular membrane that separates the chest from the abdominal cavity. This can be perceived as abdominal discomfort or nausea. A person may experience shoulder pain, a classic example of referred pain. This phenomenon, when pain is felt in a location other than the actual source, happens because of overlaps in the networks of nerves in the spinal cord. Problems with the lungs and esophagus are sometimes mistaken for a heart attack, but the opposite can also occur. Sometimes people think that their chest pain is caused by a respiratory infection, or other lung disease when they're actually having a heart attack. Another possible misattribution is heartburn, which happens when stomach acid rises up into the esophagus. If you have diabetes, you're more likely to have a silent heart attack. Over time, high blood sugar can damage the nerves, and the small blood vessels supplying those nerves, including those that transmit pain signals. While pain tolerance may be physiological, emotional, and cultural factors can come into play as well, says Dr. Stone. For instance, people may dismiss or ignore pain because they don't want to appear weak. Heart muscle damage from a heart attack causes a distinct signature on an electrocardiogram, or ECG, a recording of the heart's electrical activity. A heart ultrasound can also detect a prior heart attack. If either test suggests heart damage, it should be a wake-up call to prioritize efforts to avoid more damage. Follow healthy lifestyle habits and take medications if necessary to make sure your weight, blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar are within normal range. And the article also briefly reviews classic symptoms of a heart attack. And those classic symptoms are pressure, aching, or tightness in the center of the chest, pain or discomfort that radiates to the upper body, especially the shoulders, the neck, or the arms, associated with sweating, and sometimes also associated with shortness of breath, weakness, nausea, dizziness, back or jaw pain, and unexplained fatigue. And now again, for a change of pace, I'm going to go to research we're watching in the Harvard Heart Letter. And the first article is entitled, RNA-based drug shows promise for lowering blood pressure. A single injection of a new RNA-based drug may lower blood pressure up to 6 months, according to a small study published July 2023 in the New England Journal of Medicine. The drug, zilebesiran, is an example of a new class of drugs called small interfering RNA drugs, and they're abbreviated siRNA. It works by interfering with the liver's production of angiotensinogen, a protein that plays a key role in high blood pressure. Researchers tested 7 different dosages of the drug in 107 people. Higher doses led to drops of at least 10 points in systolic blood pressure and 5 points in diastolic blood pressure, which of course is the second number, after 2 months, and the effect lasted for 6 months. The changes stayed consistent throughout the day, and few side effects were reported. 2 larger trials of the drug are currently underway. The next article is entitled, Prediabetes is linked to higher risk of cardiovascular problems. Even slightly elevated blood sugar levels, a condition called prediabetes, may raise the risk of cardiovascular problems, according to new research. For the study, researchers looked at the glycated hemoglobin, or hemoglobin A1c, levels of 427,435 people from the UK Biobank, a large database of health information in the United Kingdom. HbA1c values represent a person's average blood sugar levels for the previous 3 months. Over a median follow-up period of 12 years, the researchers found that people with prediabetes at the start of the study faced a greater risk of various cardiovascular problems, including coronary artery disease, stroke, and heart failure, compared with people whose HbA1c was normal. In the UK, an HbA1c of 5.9% is considered normal, while in the United States, less than 5.7% is called normal. As expected, people with diabetes, both undiagnosed and diagnosed, were at even greater risk, especially women. When the researchers accounted for factors like obesity and use of medications to lower blood pressure and cholesterol, the excess risk from elevated blood sugar was reduced. That means attention to weight loss and greater use of medications to lower the cholesterol is important to counter overall risk, say the authors, whose findings were published September 2023 in the Lancet Regional Health. Finally, higher step counts are linked to lower risks of heart disease, heart-related death. The more steps you take, the lower your risk of dying from cardiovascular disease, with the benefit starting with as few as 2,300 steps per day, a new analysis suggests. Published online August 9, 2023 by the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, the study pooled data from 17 studies around the world involving nearly 227,000 people in total. Their average age was 64, with nearly equal number of men and women. The minimum number of daily steps needed to lower the risk of dying from heart disease was just 2,337. But every additional 500 steps per day lowered the risk even more. And researchers noted no upper limit to the benefits, even among people who walked as many as 20,000 steps per day. In addition, the findings were consistent across varied climate zones in countries that included the United States, the United Kingdom, Japan, and Australia. And then the last article in the Harvard Heart Letter of November 2023 is entitled Advances in Managing Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy. There's reassuring news about exercise as well as new first-in-class drug for people with this inherited heart muscle disease. About 1 in 500 people has a condition that affects muscle cells in the heart, causing the walls of the heart to thicken and enlarge. Called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, or HCM, it's often caused by a genetic mutation and is the most common inherited form of heart disease, although many people have never heard of it. Among those who are familiar with HCM, misconceptions and unwarranted worry about the condition are common. Until recently, HCM was feared as the most common cause of sudden cardiac death in young athletes, says Dr. Caroline Ho, medical director of the Cardiovascular Genetics Center at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. However, newer, more comprehensive research involving the general population, college athletes, and military recruits shows that while HCM remains an important underlying cause of sudden cardiac death in otherwise seemingly healthy individuals, it's not the most common one. The exact reasons for these rare but devastating events often remains a mystery, even after autopsy. Additionally, a large observational study published in 2022 in JAMA Cardiology suggests that even vigorous exercise appears to be safe for most people with HCM. The study followed 1,660 people with HCM aged 8 to 60 for 3 years. 43% of them said they did moderate exercise, and 42% did vigorous exercise. During the study period, 1.5% of those who reported exercising vigorously died or had a severe cardiac event, the same percentage as among those who described themselves as sedentary or who reported doing moderate exercise. This study provides important evidence to encourage people with HCM to exercise, which provides the same health benefits as it does for everyone. A wide variation in symptoms. Some people with HCM have no symptoms or very mild ones. Some people feel breathless, lightheaded, or have chest pain. These symptoms occur when the heart fails to relax and fill properly, or when the thickened heart muscle obstructs the flow of blood leaving the heart. The resulting turbulence in the blood flow causes a murmur that a doctor can hear while listening to the heart. Changes in the structure of the heart cells, combined with thickened muscle, can affect the heart's electrical system. This can lead to atrial fibrillation, and in rare instances, ventricular fibrillation, which can cause sudden cardiac death. The vast majority of HCM cases involve genes responsible for making sarcomeres, the basic unit of muscle. Alterations in the genetic code, called mutations or variants, of these genes pass from one generation to the next in a dominant pattern. That means that parents, siblings, and children of an affected person have a 50% chance of having inherited the same variant. But even if you have the same variant as your mother, for example, your symptoms may be very different from hers, Dr. Ho explains. Sometimes HCM is discovered by chance on a routine electrocardiogram, or when a doctor hears a murmur. Other people undergo testing after experiencing symptoms or after a family member is diagnosed. We refer everyone newly diagnosed with HCM for genetic counseling to consider genetic testing and to understand the implications for their family, says Dr. Ho. Many people feel anxious or confused after their diagnosis, but they should understand that with good medical care, most people with HCM can enjoy a good quality of life, and that treatments are rapidly improving. For those with symptoms, many treatments, including medications and procedures, are available. Several common drugs can help the heart pump more effectively. In 2022, the FDA approved mavacamten, or Camzyos, a first-in-class medication that targets the underlying cause of HCM by inhibiting a protein that helps power heart muscle contractions. A similar drug, aficamten, is in the final stage of clinical testing. It's great to have effective new medical options for people with HCM, says Dr. Ho. These medications are a welcome alternative to surgery or catheter-based procedures to thin the heart muscle, which until now were the only options when existing drugs didn't improve symptoms. And now briefly, we're going to turn to the Harvard Women's Health Watch. And we're going to turn to the question and answer session with Dr. Tony Goland and Hope Ricciotti. And the question is, my fingernails are sprinkled with tiny white spots. Why do these form? Answer is, these nail spots are a common occurrence and usually don't signal a serious problem, but it may take some sleuthing to figure out why you've developed them. The most likely cause of white spots on the nails is minor trauma, whether from a rough manicure involving filing and cuticle cutting, or excessive tapping of the hands and fingers on a hard surface. Sometimes dry, white areas on the nails form when you leave nail polish on for too long, which doesn't allow the nail to shed cells normally. A fungal infection could also be the culprit, depositing a white film that may cover a few areas or even all the nail. Certain more serious conditions can also cause half or more of the nail to appear white. These include low iron levels, kidney disease, or scarring of the liver. If hand trauma or wearing nail polish for prolonged periods don't seem likely cause of your nail spots, ask your doctor for her assessment. Letting the spots disappear on their own could be a lengthy process, since it can take 6 or more months for fingernails to grow out. And then another brief question in the same section. My friend is raving about a tool she bought to scrape her tongue, saying it makes her breath much fresher. Does tongue scraping work? For someone with persistent bad breath, halitosis, using a tool to scrape the tongue can indeed make a difference. Many of us build up a white or yellowish coating on our tongues consisting of food debris, bacteria, and dead skin cells. This happens when tiny bumps on the tongue called papilla, which grab food and help move it to the throat, trap this buildup, which develops a bad smell after bacteria settles in. Sold in drugstores and online, tongue scrapers are small tools made of stainless steel, silicone, or plastic. Using one involves a simple raking motion to remove tongue buildup. You could also use a spoon. Don't scrape too aggressively, though, or you could overdo it and scratch your tongue. Done regularly, tongue scraping can help a person's breath feel fresher, but it's really not necessary. Oral care that includes twice daily toothbrushing and regular mouthwash use will stave off bad breath for most people. Well, it looks like we ran out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.